Okay. Father, thank you again for your word going forth. I thank you for just speaking through us. I thank you also just for inspiring us today, Yeshua, to walk away with something that we can use and apply to our lives, that it would be about that transformation. We get energized here so that we can go out in our week and we can serve you and we can bring the kingdom of God to those around us, to those you want us to influence, Father. Thank you that we would be the ones that are the influencers in this world today. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. And the words of Kyla, sit down. Excuse me. I did not come up with a clever title. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sure you could probably think of one as we go. You can tell me at the end. But how do we hear and know God's voice? That's what was on my heart this week. And I really struggled with how, getting real in-depth with it until, again, this morning, and God just gave me the second part of it all, and it's very deep, how we learn to know God's voice in our lives. I think that was one of the points that honestly, Kyla was drawing out, and the word she was looking for was quantum entanglement. Manoah's wife knew that was Yahweh. She knew that was Yeshua because of the spirit in her and the spirit in him, and it connected. And I think, you know, Manoah knew it too, but he did need a little bit more. So I think that was such a cool point that she drew out, and that's something she got on her own, God just revealed to her as she studied. And I just think that's awesome because it touched my heart too, to know that God's revealing himself to our teenagers and our kids. So we hear and we know God's voice, and he oftentimes will come to us in a couple of ways. It's either instructional or relational. And we want to hear from God on a daily basis, but we don't always need to have that instructional voice on a daily basis. So that's something that we learn to hear from God on a relational basis, so that when he does give us instruction, our hearts are attuned to that. And we know and we recognize his voice. we learn to hear his voice through practice. You can sit, yeah, okay. Sorry. We learn to hear his voice through practice. So like Samuel, not knowing if it was God or Eli, it takes practice. It's something that we have to attune ourselves to. And we do this throughout our lifetimes, right? Through training. Hopefully our parents have taught us these things. But we think about it like, you know, Kyla and my kids at a younger age, what she just spoke on. This was something that, because she recognized some of these deeper concepts because it's been trained in her whole life. Deuteronomy 13:19 talks about when you listen to the voice of Yahweh, your God, keeping all of his commandments that I'm commanding you today, doing what's right in the eyes of God, of Yahweh, your God. Those are the things that implant his instruction in our hearts. When we listen to his instruction and then we obey that instruction, then it becomes ingrained in us. And then we have that discernment. Our discernment meter gets more in tune on these things, right? So we're able to see these things better. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's a pretty deep concept. Does that mean that we sit and we pray about every single decision? There should be some training, just like that elementary teaching. You know, our parents teach us when we're little kids not to run out in the street, and they might give us a little swat, right? So that's an elementary teaching. They shouldn't have to do that every single day. Hopefully, at some point, it sinks in, and we know, avoid the street. Or, as you get older, now I can look both ways. There's discernment. There's graduation that comes with that. Adonai, Elohim, yes, the mouth of God is very important, has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to give heed as a disciple. You know, Leanne's family is going through a deep grieving right now, but instead, Leanne texted me this week to encourage me. That to me is someone who sustains the weary with a word. And it was a little bit, I wasn't quite weary, but I knew we were facing some battles that week. And it was huge what she spoke into my life. But those are the things that when we are mature in our walk with God, we can, with one word, we can make or break someone a lot of times if we choose to use our words for life. we can definitely encourage them and leave them with a new beginning. So Adonai Elohim has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn back. Part of that listening and attuning our ears to God is being willing to obey and not being rebellious. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those pulling out my beard. I did not hide my face from humiliation and spitting. This is definitely a picture of Yeshua, right? Of Jesus to come. That is a picture of humility. And truly what it means to be able to have an authority to speak, you have to be someone who's humble first. You have to be able to be willing to put yourself as a servant first. And that's how God raises people up. It's not people that are self-promoting. It's not people that come in with a platform and want to speak their agenda. It's people that come in that are willing to serve that God raises up. And I don't mean just in churches. I mean within our community and within our government, within all those avenues. It's those that are willing to put their lives on the line that God honors and lifts up. For Adonai Elohim will help me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. That's a peace in knowing that it's okay to be a little bit crucified by this world, because our God is the one who fights for us. It's okay to go out there and take a little bit of hits here and there, and God buffers us, right? So we also need to know, when we hear His voice, we need to recognize that if we are someone, first of all, we're talking about hearing His voice and knowing how to discern it in our lives, but also how to speak it out. And that comes by walking in authority too. But that comes from recognizing the authorities that God's put in our lives. We have authority in all kinds of realms. We can't kid ourselves in that area, right? I mean, anybody in here live in a house? Okay, probably everybody in here lives in a house. You're the authority over your home. That's your domain. That's kind of your castle, right? Okay, someone comes into your home, there's some rules. Sometimes some of those rules are usually unspoken, but then there's some other rules. For instance, in our home, this isn't true, but let's say in our home, the rule is you have to take your shoes off at the door. Okay, that's an authority that if you're wanting to come into that home, that is an authority you're willing to submit to, right? Those are authorities that God puts in our place in all kinds of walks, in all kinds of realms in our life. But when we attune to those things, when we honor and respect the authority or the expert almost sometimes in those situations, we are given authority. We are lifted up in those things. I was thinking about it too, that it's like, you know, I have an authority on some things. Like if someone wanted to ask me about gymnastics, I could tell them a lot about gymnastics. I could tell them a lot about the Lord and about the Bible and those kinds of things. But if they wanted to ask me about, gosh, I know a lot about irrigation too. What else do I? Just kidding. I can do concrete. Thinking, what else? I'm kidding. There's a lot of things I don't know. Okay, let's say trees, for instance. I don't know much about trees. But that's where I'm willing to submit to Glenn, who does know a lot, and Diane, who both, they've had a tree business. They understand it. Those are those areas, though, that's where we get that idea of submitting one to another. And I know that most of us have that concept in here, but I think it's a deeper concept God wants us to get so that when we go out, we have that authority when we speak. So how do we know it's His voice? If the voice in your head is telling you to feel guilty, is that Yahweh? Is that God? Usually it's not, because God doesn't operate in guilt. He operates in conviction in your spirit, and there's a difference. And I know when Mac Fish was here a couple weeks ago, he talked about guilty as a legal term, and it means you've done something to earn that title. You have walked in something. So if you've walked in it, you get right with God, and you get your hands clean, and you move on. You miss the mark, you aim again. But you don't need to live in guilt. That's not God. Conviction should be, I did something wrong, I need to make it right, and then you move forward. Submitting to the authority in your life, a lot of times that's not a like-minded friend. If you want to know the truth about something, you might have just said, you know, was I harsh? Did I say something that was too bad? And you ask someone who has the same beef as you do, they're going to say, no, that was awesome. You know, keep bringing it. But you go to someone that you know will tell you, who will give you that kind rebuke that you might need to know. That's part of being willing to submit to his authority, but it's also going to attune your ear to God's voice in your life. And if the message that you have in your heart to speak to someone else conflicts with God's nature, then it's not from God. If you're unwilling to listen to those authorities, then you have a different agenda, and you need to check yourself. And Moses said, "But look, they will not believe me or listen to my voice." So this is someone who had a word. He had to go to a pagan king and speak a word of freedom. He had to go to someone who hated his guts, had put everybody in slavery, and he had to go and speak a word of freedom. How intimidating is that? First, he had to go and get his brethren to jump on board with him, and he said, "They're not going to believe me." But God says, or they're going to say, "Yahweh hasn't appeared to you. Who the heck are you?" So Yahweh said to him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "It's a staff." What's a staff? It's a sign of authority. He said, "You have that." He said, "Go, look at that. I do. I have authority." And it's in his hand. And he said, "Okay, Lord, I'm still nervous, but I have your authority with me." So he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he took that staff, he cast it on the ground. When it was cast to the ground, it became a serpent. So Moses fled from before it. It freaked him out. He said, "I have this authority, but I don't know how to use it." And so he was a little bit afraid of it. But God said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And it probably was his right hand, which is also a symbol of authority. It's a Hebrew idiom. "Stretch out your hand, take that snake by its tail, and now it is becoming a staff in your hand." So it's oftentimes the things that we're afraid of are the things God says, "Take by the tail, and now it's authority in your life," which is a really interesting thing. The very thing I was afraid of, God said, "Yep, you're going to step right into that." And he said, "But you're not going to do it alone." And so I stepped into it, and he said, "Take it by the tail." Are you supposed to pick up snakes by the tail? Usually, probably not. Yeah. But our God sometimes works upside down. So he's like, "Do it. I dare you." So Moses, all he had to do was obey. He grabbed it, and it was an authority for him. That's right. It's an authority over Satan. So this is so that they may believe that God, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. When you've gone through a great trial in your life, it gives you some authority to be able to speak to someone else about that trial, right? Let's say you've overcome alcoholism. That's something you struggled with in your home, or whatever it is, drugs. You now, with the help of God, you've overcome that. You now have picked up that snake by its tail, and it's a staff for you. It's an authority. God's given you something you can speak to now. Okay? That's a lot different than the hollow words of maybe, you know, let's just say a young, like, 15-year-old that comes in and wants to preach to us about alcoholism, okay? Maybe who's never dealt with it. And maybe it's not a 15-year-old. Maybe it's just someone who thinks they're an authority on something that they've never dealt with or even experienced. Okay? It's a lot different. And you can use, I know everybody in here has something that they've experienced in their lives that they can use. But we also need to have discernment in these things. So if you think God is leading you, but you find out that you are in error, perhaps you have not learned the difference of God's voice and your own voice. It doesn't mean you're not his sheep. I know there's the scripture that says his sheep know his voice and they follow the master. Okay? Sometimes the sheep get a little bit off track and they have to just come back. Don't beat yourself up if what you said wasn't from him. Just go back, repent, get humble with him, and then come back to some of these principles of attuning your ear to his voice in your life. The Bible, though, is full of people saying, "The word of the Lord came to me." How could they speak so confidently? How did they learn to know God's voice in their lives? Some of that comes from that concept of quantum entanglement. It bears witness. For those of you that may not know what quantum entanglement is, because since I'm a, you know, I can't even think of the word now. I'm a physicist, I can tell you. I'm kidding, I'm not. But if quantum entanglement is that concept that it's kind of the explanation for the Holy Spirit. It's that concept that we come from this source And whether, you know, Joy is out in Virginia and I'm here in Colorado, God might deal with her on something that he's dealing with me on something at the same time. Or God speaks a message to me and I go to speak to my sister Sarah here and she's like, oh, God was just showing me that very same thing. That's quantum entanglement. And again, it's what Einstein called spooky science at a distance, or spooky action at a distance. It's Yahweh entanglement. That's right. So it causes us, when we know the voice of the Creator, because he created us, and when we know that voice, it causes us to put his desires above ours. And it sometimes, that's what the prophets had to be able to do, to speak the hard word at times, right? Because prophets were not, like, very popular. They weren't the ones that you wanted to go out with afterward and, you know, go to dinner with. So that idea, though, of caring more about God's approval than man's is what causes people to stand up here and speak the hard word sometimes, or to say it in a one-on-one conversation. But it also, that same idea of quantum entanglement is the same spirit that's in us to be able to speak to someone and it bears witness with them. But that needs to come from being led of the Holy Spirit, not of our own agenda or our own just desire to stick it to someone, you know? I think sometimes people are like, I have a word for you. You need to dress better. And that's what God said, so you can't dispute it. So, okay, that is really not, that is obviously not from God. A lot of times you can check yourself if you have a multitude of witnesses and you're not front-loading opinions or context with them. You're saying, this is something that's on my heart to share. Would you pray about it? My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my insight. This is Proverbs 5, 1 through 2. That you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. Pay attention to my wisdom. What is his wisdom? Where do we get his wisdom? From the Torah, from his teaching and instruction. That's what that word means, is teaching and instruction. So we don't get wisdom by suddenly growing up and being 18 and thinking we've got it all figured out, right? I'm sure you've seen a lot of 18-year-olds that don't have a lot of wisdom. So we gain wisdom through training. We gain wisdom through instruction, through hopefully our parents that love us and give us the right instruction, okay? And if we are wise, we will continue to give ear to the insight of our parents even after we're out of the house. Because I still go to my parents for a lot of instruction and understanding for things. And it's invaluable to me. That's my dad. So how do we learn to hear his voice? It should come through the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's part of it. There should always be two witnesses in everything that we think is from God. It's spirit and it's truth. If we're all spirit, then we're not anchored in anything foundational. And if we're all foundation and instruction, then we're legalistic and we're missing spirit. And we need to have both. God wants us to operate in both of those things. excuse me. That's the difference of the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, too. And operating in understanding of the spirit of the law. That's really what will give us authority, because we're taking the best of both of those worlds. For all who are led by the Holy Spirit, Ruach Elohim, these are sons of God. So there's some criteria in doing this. That probably should have gone on a different slide. It doesn't divide the brethren, but it might bring correction. You know, when someone does bring a hard word, it might, you know, that first flesh, that knee-jerk response might be, oh, God, I don't want, you're wrong, you're way off base. But if we are mature, we will go to God and say, is there truth in this? Is there something to this? And that would not bring division within a church or within any kind of, like, you know, even in a job situation. You know, bosses have to bring correction to employees all the time. It should bring a higher standard. That's what that idea is. If you are bringing some correction to someone that doesn't bring them to a higher standard and it's not from God, it will bring division. And that's kind of a litmus test too. We may not all have the same conviction either. And that's something we have to be okay with. Some of us celebrate Sabbath differently than others, and that's okay, because we are on different walks. God will deal with us in different ways, but we're not on the same page on some of those things, and that's okay, because it's an individual walk with Him at times, most of the time, right? It's important we come together corporately as a body, because He says not to forsake the fellowship. And it's the still, persistent, small voice that we pay attention to. You know, there's a lot of times it's not that booming voice or that, oh God, that was so wrong of me. It's that kind of that nagging. You know, Jerry and I were just in Salt Lake the last weekend, and I was like, you know, this is our time away. I don't know that I really want to look up another fellowship. It was just kind of wanting to just hang out and do our thing. But I asked the Lord, I'm like, should we look up a fellowship? I didn't know of any that were there. And I just left it to Him. I said, honey, you decide. And I just prayed, if God wants us to, put it on Jerry's heart. So we were getting ready for the day, and He's like, we should go to a church. We should find one. I'm like, okay. So I found one, and guess what their name is? Kehilat Beit Lechem. So Assembly of Beit Lechem. So they are Beit Lechem, Utah. We're Beit Lechem, Colorado. And we went, and it was like coming into our home. They were beautiful people. They were, a whole mix of people. There were some black people, white people, Hispanics. It was a mix of God's kingdom there. It was awesome, you know. And their time of worship, it was the same songs we would worship to, you know. They had a Hebrew Christian and Hebrew, and it was really cool. But then they had a time of Midrash. And we were able to just, you know, talk and hang out. And we ate a meal with them. And we sat with, or the pastor and his wife came over and sat with us. And she said, I want you to know that you guys are an answer to prayer. She said, we have been praying as leaders to have other leaders come and speak into our lives. And we needed that today. I know. I'm like, quantum entanglement. It was just so cool. And he said, now we know when we come that way, or if we have people that need fellowship, and he has a brother who's a pastor in the valley that he would like for him to come visit us. So he's like, now we've got people there. I just thought that, and also too, that is the kingdom of God here, and that's the kingdom of God in Salt Lake right there. And they have been doing this for, I think, almost 7 years, they said. And that's rare within the Messianic walk, that you have a fellowship that's in one, you know, under one covering that lasts that long. So we blessed them, we prayed with them. It was just a really awesome time with them. But that's knowing God's voice. And you know what? What nagged me about that was I had that thought, and then I'm like, oh, I just want to, let's just go hang out on Saturday. Let's do our thing. But it was kind of that nagging in my gut. That's the still, small voice. It just kind of kept coming back. I kept feeling it. That's how I know the difference in my life, usually. But I submitted it to the head of my home, too, the household, that the authority in our home, one of the authorities, but the head of our household. And he that's where he had that same, God spoke to him and said, this is what we're doing. So I thought that was really cool. A discerning heart is also a hearing heart. What does our heart have to do with hearing God's voice? The heart is deceptive, right, above anything else? But if we understand, and this is cool because I did a little bit of a deep dive today on the Hebrew of heart and kidneys, and I know. Anyway, it's cool because it's such a deeper understanding. It has everything to do with hearing God's voice. Anyone ever said, I have a gut feeling? Ever thought you had a gut feeling?
Here's a message from C.J. Lubbock, author of the widely popular Living Word in 3D series. Watch as he unfolds a mystery hidden just under the surface. The dictionary defines the heart anatomically as a hollow organ that pumps blood throughout the body.
The scriptures, on the other hand, declare that the heart is far more than a biological pump. The scriptures describe the heart as the center of the total personality, especially with reference to intuition, feeling, and emotion. Since the advent of the human heart transplant, the medical knowledge about the heart has created a mystery that modern science does not understand. Doctors report feedback from those that have received heart transplants, and science cannot explain why a significant percentage of those experience a change in their personality and preferences. Some even report that they feel like another person is living inside them. Let's look at the first and second time the Hebrew word composed and translated in English as heart is used in the scriptures. In Genesis 6, 5 through 6, we read the following. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Notice that man's heart is imagining evil continually, and that it is causing God's heart to grieve. The word heart in Hebrew is composed of two letters, the lamed and the bet. Lamed is pictured as a staff. Lamed means to have authority, to urge forward. It is the voice of authority. The second letter in the Hebrew word we translate into English as heart is bet. Bet is pictured as a house or a tent. The scriptures compare a human body to a tent or a tabernacle. What is the picture meaning of the Hebrew word we translate into English as heart? The heart is the controlling voice of authority that is inside of man. The essence of man's life from God's perspective begins with the condition of man's heart. God summarized it for us in one short sentence. We are to love the Lord with all our hearts. Sadly, the human heart is incapable of doing what it was designed to do because it has been mortally wounded by sin and separated from God. This condition, if unmended, will result in eternal death. There is only one solution to this tragic condition. The rabbi known as the Apostle Paul reports it to us in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
There are literally hundreds of precious mysteries found in the ancient Hebrew. To learn more, get the book, The Living Word in 3D, Volume 1, from rockislandbooks.com. To learn more about...
Okay, so as he said, the word heart is lev. It's usually pronounced lev. It's spelled lamed and bet. But yes, that understanding, the lamed is that staff, it's that authority. And the bet is the house. So it's having that authority within us, to dwell inside of us. The authority that dwells inside our house, that's what heart means in Hebrew. Isn't that incredible? It's such a deep, rich language that it just adds so much dimension to what we're learning. But there's also the kidneys that connect with this, which is amazing, because this to me is those two witnesses. This is like spirit and truth. The kidneys, the word is Kiliah. It's literally the word of Yah is in that name, the word of God. Kidneys maintain homeostasis within our bodies. We're on some science right now, okay? We're all going to learn some science over the next few months, and that's okay. Because I hated science in school, so apparently now I need to learn it. So, the kidneys see 1,700 liters of blood daily. That's a lot. That's like, I don't know, maybe our swimming pool, it's about half of that. It filters out 180 liters of blood daily, which is like half a bathtub. 65% of what is filtered is needed within our bodies, and it's returned back. The glucose, amino acids, sodium, potassium. Kidneys balance salt, they produce hormones, and they help regulate our blood pressure. They're pretty important. This is why we don't want to be too hard on them. Last part of the filtering tubules within the kidneys deal with acid-based products. They actually will determine if we need more water, and they'll retain more water, and they'll put out more if we have too much. Eventually, though, and these are tiny. These tubules are like this, and there's millions of them. And that's what does the filtering. Within a day, and it can filter out to where we're only outputting 500 to 1,500 milliliters. So that's really a small amount. That's what's incredible about them. You know, they learned from World War I that you could live with only one kidney? And it was because they're so bloody. And they were, I mean, they just, because of how much blood they see in a day, they, you know, when soldiers were wounded and they saw that the source of that was the kidneys and there's so much blood coming from them, they're like, all we can do is take it out. And they saw that the soldiers lived and they were able to survive. And even people that do have either donate kidneys or have to have one removed, they usually are down to about 50% capacity or efficiency. But then over time, that actually can heal up to about 75%, which is incredible. That's cool too, because that's what God does within the body. He gives us, he makes up for the areas that we might be lacking. One can live, that should have an E at the end, 5 days without kidney function. And dialysis, which really, that's the part that's incredible, is with all of our amazing science, you know, Fauci and all of it, we still can only replace about 10% function in our kidneys with dialysis. It does not do an amazing job. Most people, I think they say, it's about a 2-year thing for most people. Others can have survived a lot longer. It just depends on the person. But why are we talking about the kidneys? What is that about? There are scriptures that talk about the kidneys, and not just in an offering sense, but that the kidneys help direct me. So you have to look at the Hebrew to have that understanding. But we're going to go back to the heart right here. I, Adonai, search the heart. I try the mind. I test it. They're using the mind and the heart here interchangeably to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. The heart is part of the mind. Then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. How do our hearts have thoughts? They don't. It's because the heart is the brain. The heart is where these things manifest from. Yeah, that's where our passions come from. So Adonai regretted that he made humankind on the earth, and his heart was deeply pained. Psalm 16:7 says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Do you know what reins is? That's the word for kidneys. It's kilia. My reins instruct me. So you have the heart and you have the kidneys that are operating together to discern things, to be able to instruct us. And I'm not going super deep on this today, but I think we probably will over the next few weeks. My reins instruct me in the night seasons. And I think another understanding of the scripture is at night. So when I lay down and I'm kind of meditating on the things of the day, my kidneys, the things that filter out all this junk, and there's two of them, right? And what do? They filter out the majority of junk in our bodies. And how efficient they are is really what amazes me. That they can take a bunch of waste and they can find 65% of it and reuse it in our bodies again. That's what our kidneys should be doing with our thoughts at night, with our feelings. That, you know, the false accusation that I got today, my body, my thoughts, my kidney, and my heart should be filtering that out at night. That's not something I can use for this body. I'm going to get rid of it. I almost said the other thing. So there was a filter. Look, my kidneys are working. So the kidneys and the heart, those are our filters. They're the things that we use for discernment. This is how we bear witness with the word that's given to us. It's because it's our Creator. He's the one that created these things, and they're within us. And so when we hear these things, when we hear a word from someone, we can know in our guts if they bear witness. And if we're not sure right away, take it to the authority in your life. Take it to someone that is a covering for you and ask them. Oh, and if you think about it too, the reins. What do we use to guide a horse? It's reins. It's what directs something. Yes, to steer and restrain. That's very good. So that's what I have. And I just pray that that this continues to instruct us, that this continues to marinate in our spirits and to help us to know and to discern God's voice in our lives. Actually, it's not. I have one more note. Sorry. I was just thinking about, it's the same spirit that God told Abram to listen to Sarai. Because in everything, that was a real test, right? If everything you look at Sarai's instruction, here, take my concubine. my knee-jerk reaction would be, that's sinful, no way. But God said, listen to your wife. There's two lessons there. Okay, but one of those was that don't always judge by what it looks like. Take it to God. Let your heart and your kidneys instruct you on this. Moses taking the word to Pharaoh. How about when Pharaoh didn't recognize Yahweh's voice? What did he do? God brought his authority in. He backed it up with action. He brought it through. So if your voice, if you're told to speak to someone, then that's like going like a prophet. And if you are truly speaking as a prophet, then what you say should come to pass. And that's where God is your authority behind your words. And then what about when Manoah listened to his wife? Because that every time in that whole story, God kept going to, that messenger kept speaking to his wife. He was merciful. Okay, husband, you don't believe her? I'll reveal myself to you too, because I'll meet you where you're at in your faith. You need that. But he went through his wife. And yeah, she didn't have a name, and God didn't reveal his name. But he revealed his nature to her, and her nature was revealed to God. He recognized his own. And that's quantum entanglement too. Whose voice is it? We just read in Numbers 5. Whose voice is it when the spirit of jealousy comes on a man? Remember that when a husband might suspect his wife of cheating, whether she did or not, he might just have that come up in his brain. And then he has to take that to the high priest, to Jesus, and say, is this from you or not? And she really can't speak for herself. She is at the mercy of the priest and the husband. That's the bride. When the accuser comes against us, we go to our high priest. We say, Jesus, you fight this for us. Yeshua, you fight on our behalf. And then the high priest comes and he says, there's no judgment against you. We had a false accusation come against us 2 weeks ago. We were at a debate and a false accusation came against us. And the police were called in that situation. And they searched Jerry's name. It came back, there was nothing on it. What they found, actually, and the police said this to us, I cried standing right there, and I videotaped the whole thing too. But, because God said videotape it. I've never heard, he's like, grab your phone. I'm like, okay. And then I had that prompting in my spirit to videotape. I've never done that before. But I videotaped it, and the false accusation that came was that there was a restraining order against Jerry. And the police came, they ran the report, they said, your name doesn't come up. He said, but there is a restraining order against this person accusing you. They said, you are the protected one. He literally used the words, you are the protected. They did. That's right, that's exactly. Jesus said, where are your accusers? That was powerful. That was God fighting for us. We didn't have to speak in that situation. That's the authority that you have too as the body of Christ. That if you go to your God and you say, you fight on my behalf, he's got you back. He's got your back. So, that's where I'm ending it. If I had a mic, I'd go like this. I'm just kidding.